Hello, church. I'm thankful for the opportunity to share God's word with you again today. It just really is a delight to speak with you. And so if you would join me in a word of prayer before we begin. Gracious God, we praise you because you are the God who continues to speak to us, that you are the living word. And in you and in your word, we continue to find truth that transforms us. And so, Lord, I pray that this morning as I speak, that it would be you speaking. Anything that comes from me, God, I pray that you would take it and make us forget it when we stop watching this video. But whatever comes from you, I pray, God, that it would sink down deep into our hearts and it would bear fruit and transform our lives. We love you, Jesus, and we pray this in your name. Amen. When I was a youth pastor, I had many more experienced pastors come alongside me to mentor me. And I'm really thankful for these relationships. I'm thankful for how they invested in me and my time growing as a pastor and continue to invest in me. One of these relationships was with the English pastor at my former church. His name was Dr. Robert Gallagher. Dr. Gallagher was the part-time English pastor, but he was also the full-time head of the Intercultural Studies Department at Wheaton Graduate School. And Dr. Gallagher was very busy, so I'm thankful that I had an opportunity to meet with him every week or every other week. And I'd go by Wheaton College, head up to his office, and we'd sit in his office and just talk life and ministry and kind of debrief how God was working in our lives. Now, every time that we would meet, he would inevitably end up asking me a pretty simple question of, how are you resting, or are you resting well? And initially in my time as a pastor, I would answer that question with kind of sharing how many days off I was taking, you know, or I would share how much sleep I was getting. Maybe if we had a long retreat, I would describe that I took a day or two to recover from, you know, 3 days on a youth retreat. But what I learned over time with him was that he wasn't just asking about my sleeping habits, and instead he was asking me the question, how was my Sabbath rest? As he continued to ask this to me, I realized that this isn't just an important question for pastors to ask, it's important for anyone that's a follower of Jesus. I think when we explore deeper into what the Sabbath is and what it means for us, there's much more to this than just scheduling a regular break from work. This morning, I want to look at what it means to have Sabbath rest and what that ought to look like for us as we follow Jesus. And so if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Exodus chapter 20, starting in verse 8, and then you can hold your finger there, and we're going to look at Exodus 31, verses 12 to 17. For some quick background, when Israel was freed from slavery in Egypt, God led them into the wilderness. And it was there that he began to interact with them and establish covenant relationship with them. He led them to Mount Sinai, and that's where he gave them the Ten Commandments. And in these commandments, he didn't just give them a bunch of rules, but he laid out the framework for what it looks like to be the people of God. That if you have covenant relationship with Yahweh, this is how you will act, and this is how you will look. And it set them apart from the nations around them. And so in Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11, we see a specific commandment centered on the practice of Sabbath, and then God later reiterates that to Israel in chapter 31. And so this morning, I want to do something that maybe we haven't done in some time because we've been attending church from our homes, but I want to invite you to stand as we read God's word. In the Old Testament times, when Israel gathered to listen to God's word, they stood out of reverence for him and for what he was about to say to them. And so this morning, if you're able, out of reverence for God's word, why don't you stand in your living rooms or wherever you're watching this and read the scriptures out loud with me. It should be on the screen. And so Exodus chapter 20, starting in verse 8, says this. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. And then, skipping over to Exodus 31, verse 12, it says this, And the Lord said to Moses, You are to speak to the people of Israel and say, Above all you shall keep my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall be put to death. Therefore, the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. This is the word of the Lord. The word Sabbath comes from the Hebrew word Shabbat, meaning to cease or rest from work. And the command that we're given here in Exodus 20 is very simple. Once a week, Israel was to rest and or to stop the work that they were doing, that they had been given by God, and they were to rest. The command is repeated again in Exodus 23, and then once more in Exodus 31. There's a clear instruction from God to Israel that they were to make resting a regular weekly part of their lives. But the question is, why? Certainly, the command has a physical benefit, right? That they would take a break after maybe a long week of tending the fields or the crops, or a week shepherding the sheep. This gave them a chance to rest their bodies and recover. But there was also an environmental and societal benefit, right? The weekly Sabbath command was expanded out to include a Sabbath rest every seventh year for the land to rest and for the poor among them to eat. In Exodus 23:10, it says, "For 6 years you shall sow your land and gather in its yield, but the seventh year you shall let it rest and lie fallow, that the poor of your people may eat, and what they leave the beasts of the field may eat. You shall do likewise with your vineyard and with your olive orchard." So part of the Sabbath command was God meeting the needs of his people, and those needs included their physical needs, their societal needs, and even their environmental needs. But we can't overlook that the other half of the command instructed Israel to work diligently. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. And as much of an expectation that there was for Israel to rest, God also had an expectation that they would work and do that well and work hard for those 6 days of the week. Now, as a young person, I definitely struggled more with the working hard part than with the resting part. But I think sometimes as an adult, it's easier for us to dive into the hard work part of this rather than rest, because our lives are so busy. If you think about your own bodies and sleep, when you travel and you get jet lag, or maybe if you stay up all night as a college student, you're studying or hanging out with friends, or you're at the youth group lock-in and you spend all night up with the young people, what happens to your body and your brain? Maybe we can function for a day or two, but long-term, if we continue to skip rest, if our natural rhythm, our circadian rhythm gets messed up, this can be devastating for our bodies. There's no way that I'm able to function with all the clarity and energy that I need if I'm regularly ignoring sleep, if I'm regularly ignoring physical rest. And so in the same way, God is calling us to a specific rhythm, right? Work, rest, work, rest, work, rest. And for sure, we run into the danger of leaning too far into one or the other. If we overrest, that's laziness, right? We are not accomplishing everything that God calls us to do. But if we overwork, that's idolatry. We are pursuing something that we think will give us more comfort or satisfaction or security or whatever we want to fill in the blank there. We think that that thing, pursuing that thing in work, is going to give it to us rather than trusting God to do that. And so the call to work and rest in Exodus 20 and Exodus 31 is to establish in us and in our Sabbath the practice of healthy rhythm. The specific instruction here in Exodus 20 is for a weekly rhythm, but something I picked up from Dr. Gallagher in my time with him is that you can't just have a weekly rhythm. You have to have a daily rhythm and a monthly rhythm and a yearly rhythm. What does that look like for us each day? To both work and to rest, each week to both work and to rest, each year to both work and to rest. When I was a youth pastor, we tried to model this for our students by building in times of rest into our youth group calendar. We knew that we'd have a really busy summer filled with retreats and vacation Bible school and mission trips and fun activities and gatherings and all that good stuff. And so at the end of summer, I would intentionally build in maybe 3 weeks off for my youth group students and my youth leaders, my adult volunteers, to just take a breath and to breathe and rest and reflect on all that God had done that summer. And so, again, the question for us is, what does the rhythm of work and rest look like in your own life? Does the way that we rest honor God? The thing that binds this rhythm together, though, right, this rhythm of work and rest, is the purpose of remembering. While Sabbath rest finds its practice in healthy rhythms, Sabbath rest finds its purpose in remembering. In verse 8 of chapter 20, it says this: remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I appreciate the ESV's translation of this, of verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to, or in order to, keep it holy, rather than the NIV translation, which is remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And I prefer the ESV because it shifts the focus from Sabbath day activities, like the things that we do on the Sabbath, keeping, making it holy, to the act of remembering being the thing that makes our Sabbath sacred. Rather than focusing on a particular activity during healthy Sabbath, it calls us to remember what God has done for us. And our Sabbath activities, the things that we do together corporately or personally, really flow out of that purpose of remembering who God is and what he's done. So what exactly are we remembering? Exodus 20 verse 11 points us to the original pattern for a work-rest rhythm established by God in Genesis 1. God created the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them, and then on the seventh day, he rested. Exodus 31 expands on this idea in verses 16 and 17. I'm going to read that again for us. It says, therefore, the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. God reminds Israel that Sabbath is a sign of the covenant that God had made with them. They were his people and he was their God, and we see this relational intimacy in God's original purpose for resting in Genesis 1. Did God rest because he was tired? Like he just needed a break, spent too much time creating animals? He needed a nap? Like, of course not. Isaiah 40:28 reminds us that the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. God rested from his work of creation in order to enjoy what he had made, right? The heavens, the seas, the earth, and everything that was in them, God rested so that he could enjoy spending time with them. And I think that specifically, he rested to enjoy spending time with Adam, with man. We were made to enjoy intimacy and relationship with God. And that's what the Sabbath reminds us of. That's what it's calling us to remember, that we were created for intimacy and we're resting in order to enjoy his presence and his nearness. And if we're not doing that each week, we're missing out on one of our created purposes. Anytime Israel was called to remember, anytime they were told, you know, remember what the Lord has done, it was always connected to a call to action, right? They weren't supposed to just take this jog down memory lane like, oh, remember the Sabbath, remember what God has done, and then that's it, that's good enough. But they were supposed to allow the Sabbath or allow their remembering to inform the practices that they put in place. Think about a significant celebration, right? Say it's your child's birthday, or your maybe one of your best friends is graduating from college or high school or grad school or something. Or for you married folks, maybe it is your spouse's birthday or it's your anniversary. Is it enough for you to just say on this day of celebration, oh, happy anniversary, and then that's it, like nothing else? Or to your, you know, five-year-old child, happy birthday, and then no celebration, nothing that goes along with that remembering? Like, of course not. Remembering has to be accompanied by action. And when it doesn't, then it lacks the full weight of that remembering. Do our Sabbath practices reflect the fact that we were remembering that we were created for intimacy with God? Do the things that we do or that we don't do when we're resting call us to that purpose or remind us of that purpose? As we navigate this rhythm of work and rest, we have to remind ourselves that rest gives us space to properly slow down and remember, and then remembering leads us to intimacy. This is going to look different for each of us. For some of you, maybe that's spent in time journaling. In others, it may be in prayer. For others, like me, it might be in worship. For some folks, it might be spending time out in creation and reflecting on the God who is the creator. Whatever that activity is, it should flow out of the call to remember who God is. So Sabbath rest finds its practice in healthy rhythms. Sabbath rest finds its purpose in remembering. But the last truth we glean from our text today is that Sabbath rest is a matter of life and death. God makes clear in Exodus 31 that there was a penalty for Sabbath breakers. In chapter 31, verses 14 and 15, it says, "You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall be put to death." While it sounds harsh, the language that God uses here when it comes to those who do not keep a Sabbath was to make clear how important Sabbath rest was for Israel. Israel was to treat those who did not keep or remember the Sabbath as cut off from their community. Right? The practice of Sabbath was so tied to the life that God wanted for Israel that to reject the Sabbath was to reject the God who desired relationship and intimacy with them. And this had very, very real consequences for Israel. When my brother was younger, he had a couple incidents where he fell asleep driving. He was coming home from a retreat one time on the highway, or I guess maybe here they call it the expressway or the freeway. And he fell asleep and ended up driving into the median. And then it happened again another time. Now, thankfully, nobody was hurt in any of those incidents, and the Lord protected him. And so the only issue was that he totaled his car when he did that. And for a while, we were trying to figure out, well, what was happening that was causing him to fall asleep? Was he just not getting enough rest? But he would sleep, you know, 8+ hours every night. We found out eventually that he had something called sleep apnea, which is a condition that causes you to not breathe properly while you're sleeping. And it kind of wakes you up in the middle of the night, and then you just fall right back asleep. And it kind of gives the illusion of rest, but doesn't actually give you any rest. And so he was suffering from that. The moment he realized that this was what he was dealing with, he made some significant steps to take care of it and to do something about that sleep apnea. He took it seriously. In the same way, we are called to take seriously the need for spiritual rest, right? While also remembering to rest physically. If we fail to rest with God as we remember the Sabbath, we are rejecting the life that God intends for us. And any life, quote unquote, that does not come from God is just death masquerading as life. And so again, the question is, do we approach the Sabbath with the same reverence that God commanded Israel? My hope this morning is that we have caught a vision of a true Sabbath rest that gives life because it creates space for us to dig deeper into our intimacy with our Father. As I wrap up, I just have two final thoughts for us that I think are maybe practical suggestions or practical thoughts when it comes to Sabbath rest. The first one is this. Resting well may require us to work harder in the days leading up to Sabbath, while also trusting God to provide all the things that we need as if we were to work on the Sabbath. It marries our responsibility to work diligently with our need to trust in God's faithfulness. This is demonstrated to us in Exodus 16. When Israel was in the wilderness, they didn't have anything to eat, they're complaining to God, and so God gives them manna from heaven. And his instruction to them was, you're going to go out every day, or you're going to go out today, and you're going to gather manna for you and for your family. Just take enough for you to eat this one day. You take more, you're not trusting me. Second day, third day, fourth day, same thing. But on the sixth day, God's instruction to Israel was to gather a double portion so that they could rest on the seventh day, right? On the last day of the week, that they could rest. Now, in that, they had to trust that God was going to provide enough on the sixth day for them. They had to work twice as hard to gather more those days. And they had to believe that there was more coming on the start of the next week. And it kind of combines this this trust in God's faithfulness with the call to really pursue what he calls us to. And so that's the first thing, that resting may require us to work harder in the days leading up to Sabbath. I remember before I took my sabbatical with my previous church, I felt like the months leading up to sabbatical, I was working twice as hard because I was not just running youth group, but I was training one of my lead volunteers to take over for me for 6 months. And so it felt like I could have done everything myself easier, but I had to do a little bit more work to prepare her to take over for me. The second thought that I have as we conclude is that comes from Exodus chapter 20, verse 10. And it says, you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant, female servant, livestock, sojourner. It goes on to say that. While each of us has a personal responsibility to rest well, parents and those who are in positions of authority really have a responsibility to model this well for the people that God has entrusted to them. God is calling you to Sabbath well, and you have to lead those around you to do that well as well. Also, when I was a kid, my family had this weekly tradition of ordering rice boxes, fine hubs, from Chinatown, where our church was in Chicago, and we would, buy the takeout and then go home and eat together as a family. This was every Sunday after church. We would spend the evening resting, hanging out, kind of laughing together. We maybe would watch a movie, but also we would talk about what God had been doing in our lives that week. I guess this wasn't really when I was a kid, but more when I was a teenager. In this, my mom was modeling rest for my family, right? She's an excellent cook. She could have whipped up a meal on Sunday night. It probably would have been cheaper than ordering from Chinatown. But I think by doing this, she was intentional about setting this practice of rest for me and my siblings, that we would really be purposeful about not having to do anything like any extra work on Sunday, that we could just rest in the Lord, spend time together, and even encourage us to try to get our work done before Sunday so we wouldn't have to scramble to do it at the end of the weekend. So Sabbath rest may require you to teach that to others as well and to pass that on to the next generation. It requires healthy rhythms, right? It's for the purpose of remembering, and ultimately Sabbath rest is so important because it's a matter of life and death. This is the life that God calls us to rest in him. And so may the God of peace himself fill you with the rest that you need both today and this coming week and this coming year, and that rest would draw us into deeper intimacy with him. Let's pray. Gracious God, we praise you because you are the God who gives rest in the midst of chaos and busyness and all that we do. And while you call us to work diligently, doing the things that you have given to us, you also call us to a beautiful, deep rest that comes from you. And so, Lord God, I pray for us today that as we go about the rest of our day, as we go about our weeks, that you would put in our minds this need for intimacy that comes through resting in you. Whatever activity we are participating in, that it would draw us deeper into the life that you give to us. We love you, Jesus, and we pray all this in your name. Amen.